With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to Ramble Reacts. Liverpool got themselves a big win, but Spurs lost in Lisbon. It's Wednesday, 14th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Dushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ramble Reacts. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Lovely to have the Champions League back. Lovely to see some English sides involved, of course. First up, we've got to go to Liverpool beating Ajax 2-1. A huge first Champions League win of the season for the Reds. Jim Campbell, good old ding-dong at Anfield.
It was a nervy ding-dong as well, isn't it? I think we're all expecting Liverpool to be a little bit like... little bit nervy, you know, because all of the talk this week has been about, you know, them not being very good suddenly and them not knowing how to deal with it, and Jurgen Klopp kind of giving them some home truth. So there was a lot of pressure on them tonight, and that pressure was there for the entirety of the game, but they dug it out in the end.
You said about the truths. Well, Jurgen Klopp, he said that he'd called the build-up 4 or 5 days of truths. Now, Vish, as a man who's often been on the receiving end of home truths, how would you have coped with 4 or 5 days worth of truths?
I mean, by the end of that, you're just waiting for someone to lie to you, aren't you? It's just too many. It's too many truth days in a row. I don't know that any
tell
any
me
one
lies,
person,
tell me sweet little lies.
I don't know that any one person could deal with that much truth. But it was weird. I didn't see them today doing anything that suggested that they liked being told the truth. They seemed a little bit like, I suppose when you play at the speed that Liverpool play at, when you're not totally at it, it does seem more frenetic and a bit more chaotic. I didn't see much, like, not cohesion, but it felt like they're still working a bit on muscle memory, and every now and again someone like really kicks on and does something good. And, you know, like Trent Alexander-Arnold had moments where going forward, obviously brilliant, caught out for the equaliser. But, yeah, I mean, it looked like Ajax ran out of steam a bit at the end. I don't think that's unfair to say, is it?
Although, were you nearly off your seat, Vish, when ex-Manchester United man Daley Blind had a great chance to score in the second half? You'd have enjoyed that one. Just be honest with us, Vish, for crying out loud. We want truths.
Yeah, it was 5 days of truths.
This is the truth period, yeah. It was when we had a great angle for that, didn't we, on the TV, right behind it. And that was, I think that ruined it because you could tell it was always going a little bit wide.
I know, yeah, you're right. His reaction suggested that he really thought it was going to go in. And I remember, I thought to myself, oh, come on, man, I could see that was going wide. But fair play to him, he didn't miss a chance. I mean, Jim, what did you think of, we talked about these truths and so on, Virgil van Dijk coming out afterwards and saying a lot of ex-footballers who know what we go through, they say a lot to get us down. I do. I understand that. I've never been a footballer, as you all know, a great injustice. But I can't imagine what it's like to have people, you know, constantly, not constantly, people criticising you and so on, especially when you're at that level of football and you've produced so much for a team like Liverpool have. But I mean,
yeah.
I think people have just been telling the truth about what they've done this season. I mean, against Napoli, it was shocking.
Yeah, but I think if from Liverpool's point of view and from Van Dijk's point of view, actually what you need to do with that sort of criticism, even when it's fair, is use it, right? You need to internalise it and use it as fuel to improve. And if you need to get it into your head that you're proving everyone wrong by putting in a good performance and then using that exact thing as motivation, then fair enough. It's all, you know, it's all big psychological warfare, really, isn't it? But I think this Liverpool team, that there are, you know, Luis Diaz has come in to replace Sadio Mane, and obviously he came in at the end of last season, and like, he's hit the ground running. He's clearly a very good player, had a lot of good moments tonight, but those are huge, huge shoes to fill. And the midfield looks very different this season as well. Obviously the injury to Andy Robertson means that Kostas Tsimikas has been playing. He had a brilliant game tonight, I think. But like, they are actually, you know, we think of Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool as this one big kind of homogenous, like, amazing force of football, but it is, you know, it's quite different now from the team that won the league, and it's
but Luis Diaz to me is one of the most entertaining players around at the moment. He has you know, bags of talent, great skill, great pace, his sort of tenacity and desire. To me, he's a complete footballer. He's got absolutely everything. He's trying to win flick-ons, which traditionally for a person in his position is not that common.
Yeah. He's a sort of off-the-seat player, isn't he?
Yeah, completely. I mean, there was moments where, you know, he just looked scintillating, and obviously he didn't score, but I mean, absolutely phenomenal, to be quite honest. But it was a player at the other end, Mohamed Kudus. Kudos to Kudus Fish with that finish. I mean, what a goal that was.
Yeah, when he took it off Bergwijn, I thought, mate, you're too wide to shoot. And then when he shot, I was like, I'm glad you shot there, because that was very satisfying. He had a great game, and there were points in it where, I don't know, you felt like Ajax were a couple of good decisions away from scoring a couple of goals there. You know, there was time, even for that goal in itself, it was a brilliant move started from right from the back, where they beat Liverpool's initial press, and then rather than just like think they need to bomb forward, they basically started again. It was quite interesting. And then, you know, even the ease of that part, and I mentioned before about Alexander-Arnold kind of getting done behind him. Yeah, it seemed like they had those situations a few times where they had four against Liverpool's back four. And I suppose the only time it was mimicked later on was when Liverpool were just all over Ajax. But no, I thought they defended actually quite well. You could see the goal coming, but they defended really well. Calvin Bassey, I mean, you know, obviously people might be more familiar with him at Rangers, but he had a brilliant game.
They're very calm at the back, aren't they? That said, though, I mean, before the equaliser, Liverpool had a couple of chances where, you know, had they been a little bit more clinical, they could have gone two or even three up. So it was you know, looking back on it, I know we've only just watched it. It was a really good game, wasn't it? Well, there's a lot going on.
It really was, and I think Liverpool, they were good value for the win in the end. And as you say, they had the better of it. But, you know, on another day, Ajax might have nicked it. But you're right, Vish, about the defending. I think, you know, growing up in this country, as I did, of course, you know, there's still a little bit of me of 4-4-2 straight lines, long balls that will always be ingrained there somewhere. But I mean, we've come so far from then. To see a team like Ajax playing out from the back under so much pressure at Anfield and looking fairly comfortable. There was once or twice when there was a poorly hit pass or whatever. I honestly take my hat off to them. I really do. They all trust each other so much. But you're right about Bassey. Obviously, he was signed for about 19 or 20 million in the summer from Rangers, which I think is Rangers' biggest transfer fee in terms of what they've received for a player. in their history, maybe. Yeah,
I believe Ajax have some money sloshing around this summer, actually.
They might well do. They might well do. Bassi was sent off 14 or 15 minutes into his debut in their sort of community, their sort of Super Cup Community Shield thing, with a straight red. So he's bounced back, it's fair to say. And of course, I think he was in the side who beat Rangers 4-0. But I think this Ajax team looked pretty good, actually. I mean, away to Anfield, it's no disgrace to lose with a late goal. Because Ajax, they haven't done that much in this competition since the semi-final against Spurs. What would it have been, four or five competitions ago? But it's good to see them playing quite well. It's also quite enjoying, as Martin tweeted us, saying a big night for Andy Brassel in goal for Ajax. Now, he's obviously talking about Remco Pasveer, 38 years old. A silver fox in goal for Ajax, Jim. We like to see that.
Yeah, I've never seen Andy wear the sort of top knot or kind of bun situation that Pasveer has. But I guess we'll take it on behalf of Andy. I'm sure he won't be pleased with that.
I think he's a bit more Jimmy Bullard than Andy Brassel.
Yeah, very much so, actually. But he's a huge character, isn't he? He was great. He really felt like a kind of... just looked so confident, and he clearly gives a lot of confidence to that back line. And when you've got a player like that who can step in when your main man is injured, because obviously Stekelenburg is not available for whatever reason, then that was all part of that confidence, wasn't it? You're talking about them playing out from the back, and he was just a really positive presence. I have to take umbrage with one thing about Ajax, which is that if you've got a player called Brian Brobby, you play him. Just play Brian Brobby.
Yeah,
you're willing to score all game. You just want to hear that name as often as possible.
Well, when he came on, Jim, I thought there was going to be a bit of a smash and grab or a brobbery, you could have said.
I could have.
Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah. I think Ajax, Stekelenburg's there. So they've obviously gone for a younger goalkeeper. Stekelenburg is 39 now, whereas Pasveer's only 38.
Really? Yeah. Bloody hell. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, well, they've got a young lad called Jay Gorter in there who's 22. I think he might have played once this season. So his time will come, and it will come quite soon, you would have thought. Speaking of age...
That is an epic battle between the sticks.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Speaking of age, Vish, Edin Dzeko scored tonight for Inter. Do you know how old Edin Dzeko is these days? Have a guess.
I'm going to say 33.
Jim?
I would say 37.
Ooh, he's 36. Right. I was surprised he was that old, but clearly, Jim, you've got a slightly better grasp of how time works.
Yeah, he's been around a while, hasn't he? Because when he arrived at City, he was kind of, he was already pulling up trees.
I thought you asked because you were surprisingly young, and I thought, no, don't say 29, you sound like an idiot.
Oh, dear. Never trust the quiz master. Well, anyway, it was a big win for Liverpool, and Mo Salah scored, we should mention that as well. It goes to show, doesn't it, that Mo Salah scoring, you think... Blimey, it has been a while, because you're so used to seeing him score every other game, or every game, actually. Not every other game, for crying out loud. So they're up and running. It sets up the games against Rangers nicely. And when I say sets them up, I mean, Liverpool will be thinking, right, take care of those two games, and then actually you're nearly sort of home and dry in terms of the group stages, although Rangers will think to themselves, right, well, Napoli tomorrow night, got to get a result there, because you don't want to be going in with 0 points into those two games against Liverpool.
I'll tell you, if Rangers get a result tomorrow night, this group is a big bag of fun.
A big bag of fun. Jim, you and I have been to Lisbon. We had a big bag of fun there. No, that sounds very, very incriminating. We had a bloody good time in Lisbon. And so did the home side against Tottenham Hotspur. They won 2-0. 1-2-0.
It was a surprising one, wasn't it? It really felt like in the early stages that Spurs were just going to kind of eventually win, just sort of find a second gear and break down Sporting. But actually, again, they're technically incredibly, incredibly good, Sporting, and they weren't awed by Spurs coming to town at all. And the game sort of grew into itself a little bit. It was sort of very technically astute with not much happening. Then it sort of exploded into life. Like, it's like a season of Better Call Saul in a lot of ways. It was just... It was a fantastic ending. Two brilliant goals. They were such top quality goals late on. And I think if the first one doesn't go in, then I'm surprised at how slack Spurs were on the second one. Actually, it was a little bit like they were like, oh, we're not going to win this game, so let's only half defend this. Oh fuck, they've scored. Like it was a bit slack.
It's better
surprisingly
Call Saul
from
worth
a Conte
watching,
side,
by the way.
I know that we're veering off topic here, but I know you weren't that keen on Breaking Bad, were you? Incorrectly.
Well, I watched it after everyone said it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I find television programs where people say, oh, you've just got to watch the first two series and then it kicks in, and I'm like, oh, come on. There's 15 episodes.
Yeah, I don't think that's true of Breaking Bad. I think the Breaking Bad is
no, not Breaking Bad. One, I think,
but
right. I think in general,
Better Call Saul is a very different type of TV show. It's very, very slow, very brooding, but it earns its slowness because it's a very, very powerful character portrait, a very powerful piece of TV. But if you don't like things that are slow, it might not be for you. But you know, I know that your favourite show is Afterlife. So, you know.
Piss right off. There's many times on this podcast where people tell, let's call them, mistruths about me and one another. It's what we do. It's one of our hilarious things, and you let it go or you joke and play along with it. That is what I can't do. Okay, I cannot have anybody out there thinking that I think that's good. Anyway, enough of the bollocks. Sporting Club de Portugal are in good nick. They beat Spurs obviously 2-0, and Spurs don't concede too many goals. I mean, they failed to score for the first time in 8 games this season. They've looked pretty good, Vish. What's happening to them? Are they going to have a mare? Are they going to drop down to the Europa League? Is that more their level?
Ooh, there was a point today actually where I did wonder if Manchester United were going to face Liverpool in the, in the first knockout round of the Europa League.
Nice.
But the, I don't know. I suppose this is just, maybe this is just a welcome back to the Champions League type thing, because you know
they weren't convincing against Marseille. Let's be honest.
No, not at all. I mean, the first half was pretty dire, wasn't it, in that Marseille game? And you know, you're going away to a team like Sporting who are, you know, I suppose when we say that a team has history in the Champions League, you know, even just simply being in the Champions League for a long time is a good thing and something worth celebrating. Mm-hmm. And specifically when you can make an impact in the way that Sporting have over the few years anyway. And it just felt a little bit like, oh, okay, people are going to come shoot at us because we're an England team. We're an English team. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of agree with the sentiment before about the fact that it looked like Spurs were just eventually going to work it out, because that's how they've played this season so far when they've not been particularly convincing. They just find a way, as they did against Marseille. And Sporting clearly just didn't believe that, because, like, well, you know, we're pretty good. We are in this competition in our own right. And I think that's what I mean when I say that a bit of a reintroduction to the Champions League, because it feels a bit like, yeah, teams don't just, like, let you, you know, go through them. They don't let it just roll over. They are going to come at you constantly, and because they all believe that, you know, they all have a right to be where they are. So, yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, Marcus Edwards was the one doing most of the damage. And again, it was the Eric Dier derby, but there was that run at the... There was a run at the end of the first half where he beat Eric Dier twice.
Luke's been calling for Eric Dier to be included back in the England squad, and I totally get that. A lot of people have. But... if he is, it's just as well Marcus Edwards is English as well. I will say that. Yeah. I'll just say that there.
What if he destroys his confidence in training?
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. No, he has to
stay away from him. Stay away from him, Marcus.
Well, we could have two Marcuses in there. Could have none, could have one, could have two, Jim. Owen Hargreaves said of Marcus Edwards, there's always space for a player like that in the team. And he's not too wrong, is he? I tell you what, there's always room on any touchline, on any pitch or in any stadium in the world for a man like Ruben Amorim. A beautiful man, a very young manager, of course, at the age of 37, a former player, most notably played for Benfica. I mean, I looked at him and I thought to myself, Vish, he's wearing your kind of clobber on a Friday night, is he not?
He is, yeah. He's quite handsome, actually. I thought maybe you were over-egging it. I think this is like a... You know, like a heterosexual guy thing of just like loving someone with a beard.
No. I hate people with beards as a rule. but that's not true. Billy Connolly has one. But anyone who rocks a white T-shirt like that, I just think to myself, he knows what he's doing. But not only is he a beautiful man, according to Andy Brassel, he's going to be one of the best. He's going to go all the way to the very top. I mean, obviously, he's managing in the Champions League, so he's proving that. But tactically, he's very, very switched on. He's done great things with his Sporting side. And I did think to myself, he looks quite tasty as well. I wouldn't have minded to see him and Conte kind of square up to each other at one point. I know Conte's kind of, you know, he is Antonio Conte, Jim, and he's got the older man strength. But I tell you what, I think Ruben could have given a run for his money.
Well, I think actually, did you notice at the end of the game, well, after the second goal went in, Conte was, he was swigging from a bottle of water, but he was really, he was kind of eating it at the same time. You sense that those players probably didn't have a very nice time about 5 minutes after that happened. He's probably still in there shouting at them now.
I would have thought so, yeah. Well, of course, Marcus Edwards was sold by Spurs when he was 20. So we call it the Eric Dyer derby, Vish, but we could call it the Marcus Edwards derby. Mauricio Pochettino compared him to Lionel Messi. Presumably after he was sold. Oh, we shouldn't have sold him. He was like
one
Messi
of the
that,
worst things you can say, really.
Yeah, it's an age where you think that's a compliment, and then as you get to a certain point and you're about to try and make it in the game, you kind of go, oh no,
yeah,
I don't want this at all.
To be fair to Pochettino, he was actually talking about his playing style and the way he sort of like kind of jinks and cuts in, and you can definitely see a little bit of that. Edward seems very comfortable when he has that kind of low center of gravity, but still.
I suppose the other side to that is that when he did that run and they were like, oh, it's like Messi. You know, sometimes people get annoyed when you just like compare players to other players because it feels like, you know, I suppose all footballers are unique and original in their own ways. And I wonder if that can be quite grating, but it isn't if it's Messi.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'll tell you what, though, the run to score a goal from Arthur right at the end, I mean, that was maybe more Mo Salah-esque. I suppose it could be, you say it was Messi-esque as well. But speaking of Conte, he's lost 9 of his 19 Champions League away games as a manager. And it is an interesting one, Fish, because with Conte, great success at club level with, say, Juventus and Chelsea as well. At Spurs, he's turned them back into a force once again. It's not ridiculous to think that they could finish third, maybe even second, if Liverpool can't get themselves going this season in the Prem. But in the Champions League, it just seems to... He hasn't really quite sort of got that nailed down yet, has he?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because... I'm always reticent to say it's a bad thing per se because with knockout football, there is an element of luck involved in terms of, you know, is it a fault of someone if they're better in the league? I don't see it that way because, you know, you have to rely so much on consistency. And
I'm not saying it's a fault. I'm saying that in the Champions League, he hasn't quite managed it, whereas he's so tactically good and astute elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's slightly odd that hasn't quite translated to the Champions League with a lot of other managers that, you know, they tend to get there. But he's had a lot of experience in that competition. Now, there's still early days, of course, for crying out loud. I mean, Spurs have got 3 points from 2 games, you know, and one could argue that that away fixture in Sporting will be the toughest game in Group D because they've got Eintracht Frankfurt and obviously they've played Marseille. So, but that's the point, is it's not quite... that competition seems to sort of, you know, not quite be where he's at home.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's a lot to do with the methods, and because it's weird, if you look at the way Spurs play, you think they'd actually be quite conducive to, you know, to playing away from home because of the nature of their, or rather, you know, seeding the ball, because some of their best results over the last couple of years, certainly under Conte, have been against big teams in the Premier League where they give them the ball and they do quite a lot with 40%, you know. So it's, yeah, it is a bit of a strange one. I do wonder if, you know, lucky, you know, played today, had a goal ruled out for offside. I do wonder if Richarlison is someone who can give them a different dimension in Europe. I suppose we see what he's doing in the league, but, you know, obviously those 2 goals against Marseille kind of make my point for me quite neatly. Mm. But in terms of someone who just is a different kind of forward to Kane and Son, and gives them another dimension, I think, up there. Because, you know, maybe even midfield, it does seem like they lack like a real, like, someone who can, you know, look at the way Thiago played today. It looked like Thiago made the difference against Ajax, and every time he had the ball, it felt like something was happening. And, you know, maybe Bentancur is going to grow in to be that player, but at the moment, he's not really like a high-risk passer, and I wonder if that's, if you need that kind of ambition deep in midfield to do well in the Champions League.
Yeah, would you still fancy them to go through in the group?
Yeah, probably, I reckon.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Probably, I reckon. Okay, that was all Spurs fans. But then there could be a glamour tie away at Manchester United in the knockouts in the Europa League. So
exactly.
You know, it's not all lost, of course, if you finish third.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's go to the group of certain death, very much so if you're a Pilsen fan. Group C, Bayern, Barcelona, Inter, and that side, Pilsen. Bayern beat Barcelona 2-0, obviously earlier Inter beat Pilsen 2-0 as well. But yeah, you know, that was the big sort of glamour tie of the night, of course, Bayern beating Barcelona. I would like to use Barcelona as a springboard, if I may, gentlemen, because Atletico Madrid were in action as well. They lost to Bayer Leverkusen. Antoine Griezmann is still technically a Barcelona player. And what we mentioned on Monday with that deal that Atletico and Barcelona have with Griezmann needing to play 80% of all of Atletico Madrid's games and needing to play more than 30 minutes or no, 60 minutes or whatever it was in those games to trigger an add-on. And Atletico Madrid, as predictable as anything could have happened on Tuesday night's round of games, brought Griezmann on in the 63rd minute of that game. I mean, it is just...
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful piss take.
But they lost the game, though. They lost. They
know.
They need him. Club Brugge are flying in that group. That group is mad. Beat Porto 4-0.
I know. But I love the sort of... With Atletico Madrid, like, that is at their game plan now. That is like, so they have a game plan for 60 minutes and then it's like, right, well, who's coming off for Griezmann? Do you know what I mean? Like that, it's just, is that any way to
it's,
I mean, if you were on the board at Atletico, Vish, would you not be thinking, all right, okay, hang on. All right, fine, we'll pay the add-on if we need to, but get your flipping strategy sorted, man, because this can't go for a whole ruddy season.
It's not really a tactic, or I mean, it's a tactic in the way that, like, you know, sometimes if your front door doesn't close properly, but you've got to lift it up and like kind of drag the handle inside and just to shut it. Like, that's not.
Yeah, it's got a knack.
Just fix your fucking door.
At the moment.
Well, so they are on the verge of agreeing a $22 million deal for Griezmann to sign permanently, but again, this clause, you know, if they stick to this, they'll save them a few quid because the clause would require Atletico to pay $35 million. So there's 13 million pounds at stake here, And of course, if you're Barcelona, you really need that money. Whereas, this is one of the great muggings off of recent years in Spanish football, you could argue. This game was, of course, going back to the actual game at Bayern 2 Barcelona. It was the Lewandowski derby. He was playing for Barcelona. Quite strange, really, to see that. But I'd like to talk about Leroy Sané's goal. Lovely goal it was, and a fair few people on Twitter did say that it was quite reminiscent of Ian Robin's winning goal in the Champions League final at Wembley against Borussia Dortmund. That sort of, I don't know if you'd call it a scuffed finish, Jim, maybe, but he just sort of brushes it. Then it just sort of squirms past the goalkeeper and into
a brush
the
and
corner.
A squirm. It's a rare combination, and I suppose it's fitting that he would do that in tribute to Arjen Robben, and being a real talent to be able to pull that off in a competitive
game. And also,
one,
a rare Arjen Robben goal that was, where he didn't cut in from the right flank and just rifle it into the opposite corner with his left. So proving that
it must have been a mistake,
things, of course. It must have been, for crying out loud. So Bayern are top of that group, two wins out of two. Bayern are surely among the favourites, because they've just looked absolutely flipping marvellous. Interestingly, though, before this game, Thomas Müller said, Sadio Mane has been reminding me not to pass the ball to Robert Lewandowski. I thought to myself...
They must have such a bloody laugh, that lot.
Yeah. Thomas, do you think Thomas Müller's one of those guys who... he thinks to himself, the louder he says things, the funnier they get?
Yeah, 100%, definitely.
Thomas
100%,
Müller.
Definitely.
And the stupider the clothes he wears, Vish, again, the more funnier the whole thing.
Thomas Müller is the type of person who knocks the top of your beer bottle with his and finds it fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I'm totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Well said. We'll leave that there. So all agreed. Yeah, I mean, Barcelona, though, again, this is how ridiculous the situation is. Like, they need to progress in this tournament for the flipping financial gains of it.
Yeah, they can't afford to fail. You really can't.
I know that sounds like, again, I'm sort of making light of the situation. My laughter suggests I am, but I'm really not. Like, they need to kind of... Look, going away to Bayern and losing 2-0, again, you know, it's no disgrace. And I think, you know, Bayern would be, a fairly wise decision to... or a fairly wise choice if you to back them to win this competition. But, yeah, like it could get a bit tetchy there if, maybe between them and Inter, the battle for second place in this group might be quite interesting. We shall see. Well, there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to Ramble Reacts. We've got an Andy Brassel doubleheader tomorrow. First, at the match from Union Berlin, who, of course, went top of the Bundesliga for the first time in their history recently, and who were at last welcoming European football to their home stadium after UEFA permitted safe standing this season. So it should be a fine time finding out how Andy got on there. And then... On the Continent with Dot and Andy and Nicky Bandini. We'll be out later digging into the biggest stories across European football, so get your chops around those two. So there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to Ramble Reacts. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ritushna Hansaraja.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody. Enjoy the matches this evening.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.